move on to other business. Our first item of other business is subdivision 2021-10, Graywood Springs, final subdivision plan and landscape plan.
This is a final subdivision and landscape plan for a cluster subdivision to consist of 38 single-family lots with on-site septic, contain private roads, open space, and a proposed amenities area comprised of two horseshoe pits, a barbecue grilling pavilion, and a walking trail. The preliminary subdivision plan was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission after meeting on Thursday, November 18th, 2021, for 38 lots. Property is located on the east side of Oyster Rocks Road, Sussex County Road 264, approximately 0.45 mile northeast of Coastal Highway Route 1. Subdivision complies with the Sussex County zoning and subdivision codes and all conditions of approval. Tax parcel District 235, map 16.00, parcel 40.00. The zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Staff are in receipt of all agency approvals.
Okay. I just have two quick questions. One, do they have anything in place to delineate the wetlands and protect them so that somebody doesn't buy a lot and then clear all the way down to the water?
From what I understand, there's material in not only the deed restriction and the covenant, but there's going to be signs also posted. There are every, I forget the X amount of footage, but they're periodic all the way around.
It makes my heart so glad. Thank you. Okay, the second question I have is on the plans, they have a playground, but it says by others. Is that, so this is not included in this, that's if it shows up, nobody should expect to see it.
There is requirements, the specific requirements in the conditions of approval that there be, I know the covered barbecue pavilion,
right.
Covered seating, I believe was the language, the play equipment, or I don't believe it's called a tot lot, but they did designate specifically play equipment, the covered seating area, as well as the horseshoe pits. So they're going to be there, but it's, from what I understand from the applicant, it's third-party contractors, so it seems like that is going to have to be approved separately. In other words, it's a separate, they're going to submit a separate amenities plan.
Amenities plan, but they're asking for us to approve the amenities plan now.
Well, I think they put a note on the most recent revised plan that it was going to be provided by a separate entity. So my understanding
is essentially what's happened here is that they're showing the location as a placeholder to say this is where the amenities are going to be and this is what's roughly going to comprise. But it sounds like the precise detail isn't final yet, and then we would bring that back as a separate amenities plan.
Okay, so how do I say this so that we can say this is okay, but we're expecting more to come?
It sounded pretty good.
I think that essentially was clear.
Okay. Now, since I said it in such legalese, all right, I make a motion to approve what we have been presented for the final subdivision plan and landscape plan for 2021-10 Graywood Springs, with the caveat we're waiting for a final plan.
An amenities plan.
Yeah. At a later date.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the final subdivision plan and landscape plan for subdivision 2021-10 Graywood Springs as a final, with the understanding and requirement that amenities plans be submitted for approval at a later date. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay, our next item is site plan 23-2, Laurel Hardy's self-storage, not Laurel and Hardy. Laurel Hardy's self-storage.
It is a
revised preliminary site plan.
Can you all pull your microphones a little bit closer? It sounds like.
Sure.
This is a revised preliminary site plan for the construction of 21 2,500-foot square foot storage units, 1 2,500-square-foot storage and office unit, and other site improvements. The parcel contains 4.55 acres, plus or minus, and is located on the east side of Boyce Road, Sussex County Road 482. The preliminary site plan was originally given final approval by staff based on the receipt of agency approvals at their meeting of Thursday, February 23rd, 2023. The previously approved preliminary site plan contained 19 2,500 square foot storage units, one 2,500 square foot and storage unit and other site improvements. The tax parcel is District 132, map 12.00, parcel 114.04. The zoning is C1, General Commercial District. Staff are awaiting agency approvals. Should the Commission desire to act favorably on this proposal, staff are requesting final approvals to be made subject to staff upon the receipt of all agency approvals.
So they're usually crammed two more units in there, huh? Does it make any difference to their parking plan or as far as, you know, it doesn't put anything into the front setbacks or anything like that?
That was, I just wanted to get to the one note that I was provided. It was edited due to the fire marshal comments, adding building and addressing the building separation distance. So those were, from my understanding, the only changes.
So the fire marshal actually worked in their favor to put more buildings in? That's rare.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's actually how it happened.
My understanding is that the fire marshal was addressing the separation distance, but they decided to add the two further units.
So we're so that could be one of the agency approvals we're still waiting for,
yes.
Is what we're saying?
Correct.
That'd be interesting.
Okay. All right, then thank you. Thank you for explaining that to me. Appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome.
Well, and sure, what the heck? Let's see what happens on this. Let's go for approval of the revised preliminary site plan for S2302 Laurel Hardy Self Storage.
A second.
With final to be by staff upon the receipt of all agency approvals. Thank
Good
you.
Job.
A second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to approve site plan 23-02 Laurel Hardy Self Storage revised preliminary site plan as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all other agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is site plan 23-21 Grottos Grand Slam Lewis revised preliminary site plan.
This is a revised preliminary site plan for the construction of two building additions containing 313 square feet onto an existing 11,365 square foot building and other site improvements. The parcel contains 2.28 acres more or less and is located on the south side of Coastal Highway, which is also Route 1. At their meeting of Monday, February 20th, 2023, the Sussex County Board of Adjustment approved case number 12797 for a variance from the required 60-foot front setback. The preliminary site plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code. The tax parcel is District 334, Map 6, Parcel 525. The zoning district is C1, General Commercial District, and staff are awaiting agency approvals. Should the commission desire to act favorably on this proposal, staff are requesting final approvals to be made subject to staff upon the receipt of all agency approvals.
Okay, my question on this one is for Mr. Robertson. Because now that we have this is a commercial property, commercial use, and next to it is a commercial use. And now in the county, we have a rule that commercial uses are to have interconnectivity. Okay, I understand that the other place is not making a change right now, but can we put a requirement that they have to put a place where interconnectivity would be so that when Home Depot comes in someday and says, we need to make a change to blah, 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 we can say, by the way, while you're doing it, we're going to have interconnectivity here for the safety and health and welfare of all the people of Sussex County and the fire companies and ambulances.
I'm going to defer to Mr. Whitehouse on that only because there's a conflict with our firm and Grottos.
Okay, gotcha.
So this is a revised preliminary, and the answer is yes, the commission can require commercial to commercial interconnectivity. This is a preliminary. I suggest there's two options. Either the if the commission are comfortable approving it, they can approve it contingent on that being shown on the final, with final by staff, or the commission could ask that final come back to commission on receipt of agency approvals with that to be shown. I mean, there is obvious locations where it could be placed, so yeah, I think it's perfectly realizable. So, yeah.
Okay. What's your pleasure, people? Would you like to come back to us, or?
Staff can approve, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I certainly trust the staff here.
I would suggest then that the language be that the commission are minded to approve preliminary with final by staff contingent upon there being a cross access easement and a detailed specification showing the location and grading of the interconnectivity. We want to make sure that the other side can connect. So.
That is exactly the motion I am making.
Second that motion.
You ready? For S-2321 Grotto's Grand Slam, Lewis, I approve the revised preliminary site plan with the conditions that Mr. Whitehouse just enumerated.
Excellent.
Seconded by Mr.
Okay, moved and seconded to approve the site plan S-23-21 Grotto's Grand Slam, Lewis, revised preliminary site plan as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all other agency approvals and subject to the provision for cross-access easement being done in accordance with all other regulations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. You're working me today. Our next item is site plan 23-08 Mulberry Knoll Store preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for the Mulberry Knoll Store on the lands of V&M LLC for the construction of a 5,000 square foot convenience store, a roughly 5,000 square foot fueling station area, a 12,000 square foot office building, parking, and related improvements. These uses were approved for the site via conditional use CU-2318, approved by the Sussex County Council on Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. The parcels are located on the southeast corner of the intersection of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24, and Mulberry Knoll Road, Sussex County Road 284. The preliminary site plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code, tax parcels District 334, map 12.00, parcel 108.00, parcel 108.01, parcel 109.00, parcel 109.01, parcel 110.00, parcel 111.00, and parcel 111.01, and parcel 112.00. The zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Staff are awaiting agency approvals. Should the commission desire to act favorably on this proposal, staff are requesting final approvals to be made subject to staff upon the receipt of all agency approvals.
Okay, because I'm on a roll today, I have a lot of problems with this one. This is right next to a middle school, and it's going to be a convenience store that sells, you know, candy and soda and stuff. And we're going to have kids that can walk in across a parking lot. Plus, we've got a three-story office building there with not very many parking spaces. So either way, we're going to have an incredible amount of walking across a busy parking lot with people coming and going to, can we at least get a fence across the back to make sure that the kids can't just wander in any way willy-nilly so we can at least see where they're coming from? And can we get something in there to some kind of plan for how they expect pedestrians to get from point A to point B the safest way?
What about a pedestrian sidewalk?
You're thinking like a path or a pathway marking?
At least a pathway marking, because, yeah, so that the kids, that the kids aren't, you know, wandering in from this side, that side, and everywhere. At least there's one way in.
And so a fence with a sidewalk designated would do that.
And something like that, yeah.
Makes sense. For safety.
It doesn't necessarily have to be concrete, but it could be an asphalt path or something. Right?
Or a mulch path.
Or a mulch path or something. We're not trying to...
I think this is in the right place and a great thing to have there. It's just, I don't want some, I was a kid. And, you know, during, you know, practice for tennis, I'd, you know, run over to the convenience store, and I was not, I'm sure that they haven't gotten safer in how they handle going to get what they want, so.
Well, if it's a designated path, it would make sense, and the kids should follow that, so I agree with that.
Okay.
And it, again, it doesn't have to be concrete.
Doesn't have to be concrete. I'm not trying to.
Mulch path.
I'm not trying to make life difficult. I think they've put in a sidewalk along John J. Williams Highway. I just wanted them to be something, paint something on there too as well, so that the people coming, the kids coming around follow the sidewalk, or at least have a sidewalk to follow and don't have a better excuse of why they didn't do it. Fair enough?
Yep.
Okay. So yes, am I wrong? Is that already done and I missed it?
Because this is a preliminary, so like with the previous item, the commission can make this determination by commission, final, or it could be contingent upon that those matters being shown on a revised final, along with agency approvals and then final by staff. So it's commission's choice. So.
Okay. Then I make a motion to approve the preliminary site plan for Mulberry Knoll Store S2308 with the conditions that they come up with a fencing and path, pedestrian pathway plan, and bring it back to us for final.
Let me just on the bring it back to us part, they can come back on the final plan, though. You don't want it to come back here. You want it to come back here again, or you want it to come back?
No, that's true. Actually, I do trust the staff to handle it. They can. They know it. They know what I'm looking for.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's fine. So I can be final by staff.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the site plan S23-08 Mulberry Knoll Store as a preliminary, with final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all other agency approvals, and with the addition of fencing and a walk path to facilitate walking traffic, primarily from the school to the store. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is site plan 23-12, Chapel Farm, preliminary site plan and request to clarify conditions of approval for conditional use 2193.
This is a preliminary site plan for Chapel Farm LLC on the lands of Chapel Farm LLC for the construction of four 15,040 square foot multifamily structures, a service road, parking, amenities, and stormwater management facilities. The four multifamily structures are comprised of 32 units each for a total of 60,160 square feet and 128 dwelling units. The plan also proposes 23,790 square foot commercial building, with commercial improvements taking access from the proposed public service road and Cave Neck Road, Sussex County Road 88, as part of pending DLDOT improvements at the intersection of Coastal Highway Route 1 and Cave Neck Road. The applicant is also requesting clarification of Condition F and Condition N of the conditions of approval for CU 2193, which was approved by Sussex County Council on Tuesday, June 22, 2021. Condition F requires a 40-foot vegetated or forested buffer, and the applicant is requesting clarification as to whether this applies exclusively, to the rear setback adjacent to Red Fox Run. Condition N, placing a restriction on the issuance of building permits. The applicant is requesting clarification as to which specific structures within the proposed mixed use on the plan are restricted by Condition F. The parcel is located on the northwest corner of Coastal Highway, Route 1, and Cave Neck Road, Sussex County Road 88. The commercial site plan and residential plan complies with the Sussex County zoning and subdivision codes. The tax parcel is District 235, MAP 23, parcel 1.02. The zoning is MR, Medium Density Residential District, and C3, Heavy Commercial District. Staff are awaiting agency approvals. Should the commission desire to act favorably on this proposal, staff are requesting final approvals to be made subject to staff upon the receipt of all agency approvals.
Okay, let's go back to the clarification issues. What were those two things again? Let's take them one at a time. Let's go, what was the first one?
The first one is condition F requiring the 40-foot vegetated or forested buffer. And the applicant is requesting clarification as to whether this applies exclusively to the rear setback adjacent to Red Fox Run.
So they're proposing what an adjacent to the residential area to the west? That would just be the regular 20 foot?
20 foot.
Okay.
Just the 20 foot buffer, if correct. So it was, and I went back through the minutes and the discussion previously. It was added that there be a fence and an extended buffer, as well as a restriction on, I believe it had to be at least 50 feet for any structure within that parcel boundary.
Was it just along that Red Fox Run boundary?
That's what they're requesting clarification.
No, but when you went through the minutes and did your research, what did...
Yeah. It seemed that that was what was intended and or implied. I know that the director did have conversations with the applicant as well.
Correct, and I recall at the council, the conditions of approval, this was specifically discussed in the motion by council that the council wanted to have this buffer, specifically in this location. So my understanding is the applicant's just seeking clarification that that is the case and that it's not required throughout the entire development, with the lesser buffer standard being required throughout elsewhere.
Council wanted the buffer just in the, on the Red Fox.
Specifically in that location, and I think the applicant is just seeking clarification that that is the case.
So. Yep, because since I was the one who was like, yeah, that sounds great, let's have the interconnectivity so that the people at Red Fox Run aren't going out on the highway and getting run over, but apparently that's what they want. So, okay, we're good. Let's do the 40 foot on the back.
Okay, but...
That's just the back.
The area adjacent to Red Fox Run.
Correct. Yep. I'm sorry, yes, back is not a,
yeah,
not a directional area adjacent to Red Fox Run.
And the second item?
The second item is condition N, placing a restriction on the issuance of building permits. The applicant is requesting clarification as to which specific structures within the proposed mixed use on the plan are restricted by condition F. So to clarify from what I was able to discern from the looking back at the previous approval process, originally the building was supposed to be mixed use, that is in front, closer to Cave Neck Road.
Can we put the site plan back up just so we're
here? Yeah.
So the proposed commercial one at the bottom of the plan, closest to Cave Neck Road, which is in gray, this is only the first phase, that was originally supposed to be mixed-use building containing residential units as well. In this revised submission that they came to us with in the fall, late fall and early winter, it's only commercial now. The idea being that when the commission issued this condition about building permits, they were really only referring to future commercial 3 and future commercial 2 is what the applicant is asserting and then wants clarification, because originally it was supposed to be mixed commercial and residential in proposed commercial 1. It is my understanding that the applicant had a conversation with the director on this issue as well.
Correct. So when it went through the original public hearing, it was of a different design. And because the design has been changed, the question then comes to mind, what does the condition require specifically? So this was not specifically discussed at council, other than the requirement was put in place. And that was a commission recommendation, I think. So
is the quantity of commercial the same on this plan as it was in the two-story plan with the moving under?
Essentially, yes. It's the non-commercial component that's changed. The applicant's engineer is...
Yeah, we may ask him.
Well, can you read what the original condition was, the one that's in place right now?
I can.
For the commercial one, not for the other one.
And give me one moment, Mr. Robertson.
Sure.
It's on the screen. No building permit shall be issued for any commercial use buildings until the new grade separated interchange, secondary roads, roundabout, and service roads associated with the Route 1 and Cave Neck Road intersection are substantially completed and open to vehicular traffic. This limitation shall not apply to the single mixed use building containing residential and commercial uses and identified as PR mixed use building on the preliminary site plan.
And I think we exempted that building because it was a mixed use.
So yeah, the residential would be less traffic than possibly than.
Yeah, I mean, I it's from a traffic arguably point of view. I think that it's probably less traffic the way they're presenting it. The the issue I think we need to settle in our minds is how big a deal is that? I think that we were trying to encourage mixed use.
Yeah, I was all excited about. That's why I went to the mat on this one.
The applicant's representative is here if you want to let them.
Tell me why they took the residential away? I would love that.
Okay. I think there's someone here representing this application. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to advise you that those of you who don't come here very often, that this is not a public hearing. This portion is just a public meeting. The public hearing's already been had for this. This gentleman is not going to give a presentation. He is only going to answer questions that we ask him directly. So there's no further testimony being taken. We're just asking him for clarification. With that being said, Ms. Stevenson.
So how many units did we lose and why did we lose them?
Yep, 28 units. So the total count is, Mike Ryman, Becker Morgan, 309 South Governors Avenue. 28 multifamily units were eliminated from that building.
And the reason for this
was? So our client has spent the last couple of years marketing the project, looking at the constructability of the project, the costs associated with the project. The project began, and if you recall, I think we did this one right during COVID, when we were in the other Dell Tech, I think, is where we actually had the hearings for this. Since that time, we've had a complete change in the market in terms of cost, construction cost, constructability, everything. And they've had difficulty in making those numbers work for this particular building. So the change was essentially deleting the apartments from above the commercial, but leaving essentially the same quantity of commercial. So in total intensity of the plan that was originally approved is less.
Don't we think that commercial could possibly have more traffic than a residential?
Well, I think that comparing the original proposal to this, no, because the apartments are gone, the commercials staying the same, so it'll be less traffic.
Yeah. But it's not going to be a two-story. What's going to be on the top story then?
Won't be anything on top, right?
Correct. It went from a three-story building where the first floor.
So it's not going to be a larger store or more traffic coming into a two-story.
It went from a three-story building to a single-story building.
Right.
So the first story was always commercial. And
okay.
The second and third were residential.
I thought we were just making bigger stores or something.
No. That's correct.
I have a question on that, though, because when this was presented at the public hearing, a lot of the presentation was based on the appearance of those buildings, the ability to provide affordable, not capital A affordable, but more affordable housing. I'm concerned with what you stated about with the costs and with this request that we're going to see commercial and no residential. It's just going to sit as pad sites or... because there was a really shiny bright flyover that was given, and the buildings were very attractive.
Right.
And it, from what I'm hearing is that it may not end up looking like what was presented.
No, I don't know that I said that. I think.
No, that's my question. I'm
okay.
Not saying you did.
Okay.
No, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
To respond to that specifically, the multifamily is still there. There's still the multifamily in the back, so we still have the multifamily project there. It's still mixed use. We still have multifamily, we still have residential, we still have commercial. The mixed use is happening in a horizontal nature instead of in the vertical nature in that same building. It is the intent that the architecture and everything that was presented will be the same level of quality. But the constructability of constructing residential on top of a commercial building is very different than constructing a residential building by itself. There's a lot of interaction that happens in those uses in the same building, and that's the issue there.
Okay. Well, I don't think that we have an ordinance or anything that says we can do anything about this. That's other than say no, you can't build it. But I'm pretty disappointed. I was pretty excited about that.
Said you can build it. So. Well, the ordinance permits it. So.
Yeah, it's just whether it's held up by the rest of the Dell.
Yeah,
because the way the things were written, it talks about the commercial use buildings. Don't get building permits till all that stuff's done. And I mean, so by default, this is now a commercial use building.
Well,
the thing was, it wasn't that at the time, and that condition was
right.
So, I mean, in other words, are you looking at this condition to remain broad that applies to any commercial use buildings, whether they existed at the time of the public hearing or whether that change has been
right
subsequent to that or not?
At this point, I think.
Well, yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's going to be the same disturbance of area and of people and of place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry that the apartments aren't being done. But we really did anticipate this commercial being there in our original approval. We anticipated this to be there. We just anticipated it having apartments on top of it.
Right. Yeah.
So this really wasn't the commercial we were trying to restrict.
I think there was also talk that this one wasn't to be restricted because it would be, unlike the stuff out front that would be more highway traffic oriented, this one would provide a benefit to the people that lived in the condos or apartments.
I was thinking, yeah, you know, wasn't like this where the gym is and stuff?
Yes, and so the two pads out front were much higher traffic generators than this commercial. So the intent, I believe, at the time the condition was placed was that until the interchange is in, the two pads out front, which produce much more traffic, should wait until the interchange is done.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Okay.
All right. Well, I will pass on my disappointment to the owner, but in the meantime, make a motion. Do I need to make separate motions for the different?
Probably makes sense.
So yeah. My first motion is to, I don't even know how to say it.
To confirm that the 40-foot expanded buffer applies only along the common boundary with the Red Fox Run subdivision.
There it is.
Okay, so there's the first one. Make a motion for S2312 Chapel Hill that the 40-foot buffer is only along the rear setback adjacent to Red Fox Run. A second.
Okay. Regarding site plan 23-12 Chapel Farm, the motion is to confirm that the 40-foot buffer area applies to the area adjacent to Red Fox Run. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, good.
And my second motion is that in S2312 Chapel Farm, condition N does not include what was the multi-use building in the front of the, how do we say this? So it's written here.
It's not subject to condition.
Subject to condition F. That the.
You use the same reference.
It's along the same one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's.
I would, hold on, I just lost the site plan. Referred to it by the building, proposed commercial, let me rephrase that condition M is clarified so that the construction of proposed commercial building number one is not tied to the roadway improvements along Cave Neck Road, Coastal Highway, or the grade separated interchange. But I also confirm that future commercial building two and future commercial building three are still tied to the completion of those road improvements.
All right, so yeah, so I make that motion for us 2312 Chapel Farm that the building one is not involved, but commercial buildings two and three are still under that condition.
And let's reference the, as Mr. Whitehouse pointed out, those buildings as identified on the site plan dated March 17, 2023.
I second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. In regard to site plan 23-12 Chapel Farm, let's see, how do we want to say this? That the condition N, right? Was it N?
Yeah. Right.
Condition N shall not apply to building number one as shown.
Proposed commercial
building number one shown on the site plan dated
March 17th, 2023.
They already say that does not apply, that the condition N does not apply to that building. Did I already say that?
You said that. You said that part.
All right. However, the condition does apply to buildings number numbers two and three shown on the same site plan. Ooh. All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. And you got one more. You need one more.
There's one more?
You got to approve the whole plan.
Oh, and so make a motion to approve the preliminary site plan for S2312 Chapel Farm with the conditions that we were discussing earlier, we voted on earlier with staff to make final approvals upon the receipt of all agency approvals.
I second.
Okay, so moved in regard to site plan 2023-12 Chapel Farm, it's moved and seconded to approve the preliminary site plan as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all other approvals and including the previous motions made in regard to this application. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay, moving right along. Our next site plan was site plan 23-22, Delray Foundations Incorporated, preliminary site plan and landscape plan.
This is a preliminary site plan and landscape plan for Delray Foundations, Inc. on the lands of Reynald E. Garcia for the construction of a 4,255-square-foot masonry contractor's office, parking, and related improvements. This use was approved for the site via conditional use CU2056, approved by Sussex County Council on Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. Parcel is located on the east side of Marshall Street, Sussex County Road 225, approximately 0.5 miles north of Johnson Road, Sussex County Road 207. Tax parcel is District 330, Map 15.00, Parcel 20.01. Zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Staff are awaiting agency approvals. Should the Commission desire to act favorably on this proposal, staff are requesting final approvals to be made subject to staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the preliminary site plan and landscape plan S23-22 Delray Foundations, Inc. with final by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second that.
Been moved and seconded to approve site plan S23-22 Delray Foundations Incorporated preliminary site plan and landscape plan as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all other agency approvals. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. You're a lot easier, Bruce.
I'm fine being the problem child.
All right, our next item is site plan 17-37, conditional use number 2058, Oyster Cove, revised amenities plan.
This is a preliminary revised amenities plan for Oyster Cove for the construction of two 10-foot by 10-foot garden planter boxes and a seating area with low-growth landscaping in the place of the originally proposed tot lot. The property is located on the east side of Old Orchard Road, that's Sussex County Road 269A, approximately 0.28 miles south of the intersection of Old Orchard Road, that's Sussex County Road 269A, and New Road, that's Sussex County Road 266. The amenities plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code and all conditions of approval. The tax parcel is District 335, Map 8, Parcel 25. The zoning district is MR, Medium Residential District, and staff are in receipt of all agency approvals. And additionally, staff would note that included in the commission's packet this afternoon are a letter from the HOA and a voter sheet which demonstrates that 24 of the 24 units total, that 9 property owners were in favor of the proposed tot lot, representing approximately 38% of the homeowners, and 15 property owners were opposed to the proposed tot lot, representing approximately 63% of the homeowners.
Okay, so the vote was taken on whether or not they wanted a tot lot, but the application is for garden boxes.
Correct.
Okay, so they didn't ask them if they wanted garden boxes. They asked them if they didn't want a tot lot.
That is my understanding.
Yeah, this is a senior tot lot that we're going to build instead of a tot lot.
It is a retirement.
Seems like an unusual way to do it, but okay. I mean, that's fine.
Shouldn't they still have to ask that question?
We know what
though?
They don't want.
Well, I guess that's, I don't know. But I don't think 63% meets the threshold, does it? Is that a requirement?
It's 51%.
Oh, 51, I thought it was 66.
Increasing density, it's 51%. So there isn't a threshold specifically in current design.
Kind of
but
yeah.
That being said, the commission's often taken the 66 type of threshold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they, I don't, it doesn't matter to me. If they want garden boxes, let them build the garden boxes, I guess.
Do we know how many lots have been sold?
Yeah, that's a good, great question.
And obviously, if we've got homeowners, because the issue always is that some people buy and they're thinking there's going to be a certain amenity.
It's the appearance of a bait and switch that you don't want to have. If there's been lots sold in there, you know.
And we know there's been some because there's been people that voted.
But. Right. So, what's the total number of lots?
It's not many. I think that might be.
Is it completely built out?
There's 24 total.
Oh, you said that. Yeah, I'm sorry, Lauren. It's
you're welcome.
That's right. So there's only 24 lots anyway.
How is there 80 votes with 24 lots?
I get that. I got 9 and 15. I thought it was 9.
I'm looking in the letter. It talks about first place community garden with benches and stepping stones, 47 votes, and second place green space with benches and stepping stones was 33 votes.
No, that was probably a board meeting where everybody just put their hand up.
Yeah, I guess.
So, is Mr. DeMare here? He's the head of the Homeowners Association.
Anyone here representing the HOA today?
Mr. Palmer is.
Yeah.
Not the HOA, he's the engineer.
Yeah.
What?
Engineer. No, I just wanted you to explain. I saw there was some question as to why anybody would have to go through all this. If you could go back to your client and explain to the reason why we do this so that people aren't getting a bait and switch and that we actually, it's not just one person with a, I really hate tot lots and I'm going to go get this changed over.
Sure.
Could you please explain that to him, that this is for the good of everybody in Sussex County and we don't just sit here twiddling our thumbs doing nothing for fun?
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you very much. I'd appreciate it.
Bob Palmer, Beacon Engineering, representing the applicant. Old Orchard Ventures, the developer, has been trying to close this project out for quite some time, and the tot lot has been something that has been holding up the effort. And when Old Orchard Ventures came to us and asked for guidance to change, because the HOA was, the Homeowners Association is predominantly older folks, not a lot of children in the community. And so before we submitted, we contacted staff to find out, because we had that very concern that this could be perceived as a bait and switch. And so that was the reason for all of the votes and the letters that were submitted into the record, because we knew that this was a condition and we didn't want to waste everyone's time in other business only to go back to public hearing or have to go back and forth. So yes, ma'am, point well taken, and we tried to stay one step ahead.
I appreciate all the effort you put in, but it seemed like just from the, when I read through the whole packet, it seemed there was still confusion as to why we do this. So.
The developer and the Homeowners Association don't understand, because they're not adept at land use matters and the hows and whys and previous issues that the board has had to endure. So I did my level best to educate them, and I provided a complete record without doctored emails, because the email's an email. So
I appreciate your help on this, Mr. Palm.
Yes, ma'am.
To the question about the number of units, just to confirm, 100%, is it?
100% have been sold at least once, and there's a total of 24.
No, Bill, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Yep. All right. I make a motion to approve the revised amenities plan for 17-37 and conditional use 2058 for Oyster Cove.
My second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the revised amenity site plan for site plan 17-37 and conditional use number 2058 Oyster Cove. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. All right, our next item is subdivision 2018-34 Keystone Bay, formerly known as subdivision 2005-72 Bridalwood at Baywood, section 3.
This is an amenities plan for section 3 of a previously approved coastal area cluster subdivision known as Keystone Bay, which consists of 651 single-family lots, private roads, and open space. The proposed amenities include a 7,141 square foot plus or minus clubhouse, 6,170 square foot more or less in-ground pool, 450 square foot pool building, outdoor deck area, a children's splash pad, a playground, 4 bocce ball courts, 4 pickleball courts, 2 tennis courts, and a neighborhood park. The final subdivision plan for section 1 of the subdivision was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission at their meeting of Thursday, March 23, 2023. In accordance with previous approvals, the applicant is requesting that the subdivision be approved in phases. Section 3 consists solely of the proposed amenities and amenities area. A master phasing plan has been submitted to the Department of Planning and Zoning depicting the overall subdivision design, as well as a separate neighborhood park location plan, which shows the location of 12 proposed neighborhood parks to be scattered throughout the subdivision. The property is located on the south side of Emerald Way, the west side of Topaz Way, and the north side of Perido Way within the Keystone Bay subdivision. Section 3 of the subdivision plan complies with the Sussex County zoning and subdivision codes and all conditions of approval, to include condition Q, which requires a clubhouse with a minimum of 4,000 square feet of floor area, an outdoor pool and deck area, a children's splash pad, a playground, 4 bocce ball courts, 4 pickleball courts, and 2 tennis courts. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 17, Parcel 174. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District, and staff are awaiting agency approvals. Should the commission desire to act favorably on this proposal, staff are requesting final approvals to be made subject to staff upon the receipt of all agency approvals. And lastly, staff would note that a landscape plan has not been included with this proposal, and staff would respectfully request that any approval include a condition that a landscape plan be provided as part of the final amenities plan submittal.
So I'll make a motion to approve the amenities plan for 2018-34 Keystone Bay, formerly known as 2005-70 Wood, Bridalwood at Baywood, Section 3, with the condition that a landscape plan be produced with a final amenities plan. Why am I having so much trouble today? Oh my goodness. And that all the final be by staff upon the receipt of all agency approvals. Is that correct, or did I mess that up completely?
That was fine. Unless you want the commission to see it. So.
Yeah.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the amenities plan for subdivision 2018-34 Keystone Bay, formerly known as subdivision 2005-72 Bridalwood at Baywood, Section 3. As a preliminary, with the final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all other agency approvals, and with the condition that a separate landscaping plan be submitted with the amenities plan for consideration by the staff and the commission. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay. Next item is lands of Mark and Cynthia Lilly, minor subdivision off of a 35-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision plan for the subdivision of a 5.84-acre more or less parcel of land into four lots, including residual land. The proposed lot consists of 1.06 acres more or less. Proposed lot 2 consists of 1.51 acres more or less. Proposed lot 3 consists of 1.27 acres more or less, and the residual lands consist of 2.01 acres more or less. All lots shall have combined access from a 35-foot wide proposed ingress-egress access easement. The property is located on the north side of Reynolds Pond Road, that's Sussex County Road 231, approximately 0.2 mile east of Spicer Road, that's Sussex County Road 240. The minor subdivision plan complies with the Sussex County zoning and subdivision codes. The tax parcel is District 230, map 27, parcel 52.02. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District, and staff are in receipt of all agency approvals and would like to request final by staff. And lastly, staff would also note that a shared use maintenance agreement will be established for the use of the shared drive.
You're getting ahead of us there. Good job, thank you. Make a motion to approve the minor subdivision off a 35-foot easement for the lands of Mark and Cynthia Lilly, with final to be by staff. Final be by staff. They've already got it.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the minor subdivision off of a 35-foot easement for lands of Mark and Cynthia Lilly, with final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all other agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. The next item is lands of Jason and Jessica Torlish, minor subdivision off of a 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision plan for the subdivision of a 7.16 acre more or less parcel of land into two lots plus the residual lands. Proposed lot 1 consists of 0.75 acres more or less. Proposed lot number 2 consists of 0.75 acres more or less, and the residual lands consists of 5.66 acres more or less. The lots retain access off of a proposed and relocated 50-foot wide ingress-egress access easement over a private lane known as Cherry Tree Lane. The property is located on the southeast side of O'Neill's Road, that's Sussex County Road 485, approximately 0.19 mile northeast of Seaford Road, that's Route 13A, and O'Neill's Road, that's Sussex County Road 485. The minor subdivision plan complies with the Sussex County zoning and subdivision code. The tax parcel is District 132, map 7, parcel 31. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Staff are awaiting agency approvals and would note that a shared use maintenance agreement will be established for the use of the shared drive.
Thank you. I make a motion to approve lands of Jason and Jessica Torlish for a minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve a minor subdivision off of a 50-foot easement for lands of Jason and Jessica Torlish. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is lands of Neil and Melissa Warren, minor subdivision off of a 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision plan for the subdivision of a 11.92 acre, more or less, parcel of land into one lot plus residual lands. Proposed lot 1 consists of 1.0 acres, more or less, and the residual lands consists of 10.92 acres, more or less. Proposed lot 1 will have access off the extension of an existing 50-foot wide ingress-egress access easement, which currently serves parcel District 133, map 16, parcel 18.01. The property is located on the northeast side of Cynthia Marie Drive, approximately 446 feet north of the intersection of Cynthia Marie Drive and West State Street. The minor subdivision plan complies with Sussex County zoning and subdivision codes. The tax parcel is District 133, map 16, parcel 18.00. The zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Staff are awaiting agency approvals. Should the commission desire to act favorably on this proposal, staff are requesting final approvals to be made subject to staff upon the receipt of all agency approvals.
Make a motion to approve the minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement for the lands of Neil and Melissa Warren with final to be made by staff upon the receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the minor subdivision off of a 50-foot easement for lands of Neil and Melissa Warren with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all other agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.